I asked them the reason I jinxed the whole thing. I asked them, I said, you know, if there's a problem with the podium, what should we do about it? And they go, oh, no problem. It's never a problem. They work just like a charm. And there we go.
I'm going to go back. These are the slides I was referencing. These are survey results that we did as part of the Future of IPP assessment. Again, we did with our what we considered our three distinct partners, which was the prevalence monitoring clinics, labs, and the state family planning and STD programs. And this is showing for the clinics in response to the question of does your agency have partnerships with the following. This is presenting the top three partnerships identified as well as the bottom three. And then other partnerships that were noted were public high schools, colleges and universities, community health centers, adult and juvenile detention centers, as well as behavioral health facilities, and those ranged of notation from 55% to 77%. And this both captured informal as well as formal collaborations. And I think you'll see there's a lot of, I think, overlap with what Julia identified through her review of annual progress reports and what we captured through the Future of IPP surveys as well. And this is showing the state partners' formal and informal collaborations. And, again, I think they mirror what the clinics identified. Some additional ones that came out of the state partners was collaborating with HIV/AIDS service organizations, as well as state departments of social services and state departments of education. And then this is the partnerships or collaborations that our lab partners identified. And some additional ones that aren't listed on the slide include IHS, tribal and urban Indian health programs, again, behavioral health facilities, as well as public and private colleges and universities. And then I am going to skip ahead to where I had just left off. So through the Future of IPP assessment, through looking at the actual Affordable Care Act and doing literature reviews and doing the key informant interviews, the two new service delivery models that I think really present an opportunity for our IPP partners in terms of new partnerships is looking at or being a part of the patient-centered medical home service delivery model and the affordable accountable care organization care model. So I just wanted to give a snapshot of what a patient-centered medical home is, and it's really arranged. It's not really that new. I think we've been doing that, particularly with our family planning or reproductive health partners. But it's really care centered around the patient with the primary care provider as the hub of service delivery. And then they reach out to specially trained staff to act as case managers for referring patients within the predetermined networks in the community. And what I'm suggesting is our STD and family planning partners should be at the table and be talking about being one of those referral specialists for sexual and reproductive health within their community. We also ask within our surveys with the clinics if they were a part of a patient-centered medical home or were they thinking about it. And across the board, it was a very small percentage identified being a part of a patient-centered medical home or being aware of a patient-centered medical home process going on within their catchment area or network. And so overwhelmingly, like 80 to 90% of our respondents of clinics said that they were not part of one or they were not aware of any discussions with a patient-centered medical home. And the other model is the accountable care organization model, which is very similar to a patient-centered medical home, although it's more like a neighborhood. So there's An ACO is usually provider-led, although not always. Its mission is to manage the full continuum of care and to be accountable for the overall cost and quality of care for a defined population. And as you can see, there's, I think, opportunity. So there's the hub of the medical home in the middle, and a core component of the accountable care organization is capturing and utilizing population health and data, and using data management for population health initiatives as well. And the other area that I think we bring a key tool and resource is within the data management, but also our public health agencies looking at the public health approach and looking at the health of a population versus individual clients, as well as being able to tie into the specialist area. Again, making ourselves that resource for reproductive and sexual health expertise. And I think it's important to note that our sexual and reproductive health provider partners are the initial point of entry a lot of times into the healthcare system. And we, in fact, 6 in 10 women who obtain care at a family planning clinic consider it their usual source of medical care. And I think both our family planning and STD partners have a lot to bring to the table in order to incentivize partnerships with these providers and different service delivery models that are being implemented. We bring to the table resource efficiencies. We incentivize with service provision to fill gaps, or with data. Since there's such a focus on quality improvement and performance measurement as part of the Affordable Care Act. So I think it's important that we're prepared to promote our family planning and STD services or our providers as key members of the safety net or as specialists as part of one of these two new models of care that's being implemented. And I think on both ends of the spectrum, it means that we have access to new markets in terms of the newly insured, but also we bring access to new markets of clients for these new service delivery models in terms of patients that are going to be entering into the insurance marketplace but have typically used us as their usual source of care. And then we have to remember that we're a trusted community resource for sexual and reproductive health care, and we have technical competence and expertise that we can bring to these providers that have not historically provided this type of care, and we provide low-cost, high-quality services. And I think that's our message as we approach new partners in the new landscape. And to not quite quote Rachel Benson Gold of the Guttmacher Institute, she was specifically talking about Title X providers, but I think it applies to both our STD and family planning providers. But consolidating this track record into an identifiable role in the healthcare system holds the potential for a sustainable path for sexual and reproductive health providers as we move forward. In additional areas and potential roles for our IPP partners that came out of our key informant interviews was for our IPP service delivery partners, educating private and primary care providers around several aspects of providing sexual and reproductive health care, as well as marketing and messaging the benefits of collaborating with IPP partners. And then the potential role for the IPP infrastructure is building capacity to understand the changes that are already happening in our landscape, as well as the continued changes that will present themselves as we continue to move forward with implementation of the Affordable Care Act, as well as technical assistance surrounding how to negotiate or enter into contracts with primary care or the private sector, fitting ourselves into these two new models of service delivery. And again, I want to acknowledge all of the hard work that the regional IPP coordinators, this wasn't just a JSI Denver project. All of our IPP coordinators did a tremendous amount of work of distributing surveys and doing key informant interviews, as well as the willingness of all of our IPP partners across the country to share their perspectives and their challenges and what they saw for the future. Thank you.